Love, legacy, and labor are not lost on this episode's guest. At just 27, she's blazing a trail where few African-American women have been accepted, least of all recognized: fashion and art photography. Like contemporary Tyler Mitchell, her beautiful, insightful heralding of the underrepresented has caught the attention of commercial and editorial clients, Beats by Dre, Nordstrom, and Nicotine Magazine, to name a few. But it's her connection to family and her Midwest roots that guides her creative compass. Maisha Yvonne Gardner is from Ohio. I started by asking Maisha about seeing Teyana Taylor in concert the night before and why that was important.
Well, it's her last tour. She's like retiring from music. It's kind of sad. Her reasoning behind her retirement is because she doesn't feel like she gets the recognition. Her recognition doesn't equate to like the work mm-hmm. or the amount of work that she puts in. She put out a really incredible album. It was called The Album, and she had a bunch of amazing features. The music was just really, you can tell she spent a lot of time and energy into it. And it, you know, it's kind of troubling to be in that position of music, because a lot of your success is based off of the response from people and mm-hmm. like Grammys and streams and stuff. So that was her message. There was a lot of like audio and like interviews from past things that she'd done in the past. And they were just like, yeah, I respect Teyana Taylor. She had like, you know, Kanye West speaking to her and Kehlani and, you know, all these other artists. And, you know, she kind of like ended it on that note. Mm. But I think she's like going into another direction with her career, and she's going more on like the directorial aspect of things. So
okay, there really are not a lot of shall we say very well known African American women mm-hmm. photographers.
This is true. Yeah.
And so how do you feel you're being recognized for your work? Do you feel that there's a lot more recognition that needs to happen? I guess what I want to ask you is, you know, how do you feel about your place as an African-American young woman photographer, a commercial and art photographer?
I think for me, I understand that it is a slow climb, only because it's a white male dominated industry, like many industries in America and globally. And I actually didn't really see any black woman photographer examples until I was in college. Until I was able to really, you know, understand all of the history behind some of the other photographers that I learned about early on. Gordon Parks was like one of the only black photographers that I learned about earlier in my career. Mm-hmm. But to go and then discover Carrie Mae Weems and Lorna Simpson and LaToya Ruby Frazier and Dina Lawson.
Oh, wow.
You know, these are women that have been activating their voice and their process and documenting for years, but because of the kind of like the gatekeeping culture, mm-hmm. they haven't had that opportunity to really shine and showcase. So for me, I do understand that it takes a great deal of time, only because it's not a conversation that's prioritized. But I think in the last year, with like the Black Lives Matter, you know, protest, people are a little bit more attentive and a little bit more receptive. And it's just unfortunate that it had to be, you know, something so drastic as like the pandemic and all the things that were going on at that moment for not even just black women, but just black people to get that kind of recognition. But
I want to ask you about your upbringing in Cleveland, and you have kind of an interesting story because your parents were sort of artistically inclined, and I think you told me earlier you went to an artistic high school, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about Cleveland and how you got started with photography, especially in Cleveland.
Yeah, so I went to an arts high school. It's a public art high school. My father also graduated from there in 1994, which was the year that I was born. I didn't realize that he was so young. He graduated there. He's a musician. He's a drummer, mm-hmm. and he makes a living still to this day, gigging around Cleveland. And my mom, she was kind of like, she worked different odd jobs, and because she was a young mother, she tried to find a lot of creative ways to make money at home. Mm-hmm. So she's done everything from working for the school systems, working for, like,
banks. Well, my mom worked for the school system.
Yeah, she worked for CMSD. She was, like, she taught Zumba. Like, she was a Zumba instructor. Uh-huh. She had an in-home daycare, so our house wasn't...
So, wait a minute. You had six sisters?
I have six sisters.
And daycare at the same time?
And then we had daycare at the same time. And one of our best friends from, like, that daycare period was another large family of girls. It was seven of them. So, it was, like, 13, 14 girls.
I think you'd write a sitcom about that.
Yeah, in the house. And our house was never, like, a living room and dining room. And in the beginning, we had, like, she turned the place out and turned it into, like, a daycare. So,
and this is, you're from East Cleveland, right?
I'm from East Cleveland. So, our home for many years was toys and, like, you know, these carpets and, like, she had bulletin boards and Black History Month, and every, you know, season and holiday we would change the decorations.
So how, like, did that filter your sort of sense of aesthetics and sort of lend itself to your photography?
For me, I saw that my parents were living with such kind of, like, freedom of expression. Mm-hmm. And they kind of extended that to us through the music. So all of my sisters and I and my mom and my dad, we sang together. We played instruments. We painted. We would create, like, write scripts and perform plays for my parents to come and, like, watch us. We built forts and, you know, it was never really a dull moment. So, you know, we really had the opportunity to kind of really fluctuate throughout the arts, and it was really...
So how did you land on photography?
For me, I started in music. I played the piano for many years. I played by ear. I taught myself by ear, and, you know, I feel like it was one of those things that, you know, I picked it up at such an early age because I was just fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. And then teaching myself, and then actually going to, you know, get a piano instructor to teach me how to read music, kind of evolved that. So photography was very similar, where I was taking photos of the things that I thought was beautiful, which was, like, porches of my sister. I would bring them in the backyard and get the natural light, mm-hmm. put them in front of, like, a fence or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever was around, and photograph them. And then also at the time, I was, like, designing my own clothes. So I was, like, sewing my own outfits and putting them in different things and just playing around. But I really loved what I was getting out of my little point-and-shoot, our family's point-and-shoot camera. I wanted to study photography in high school. So that was the first program that was the only other program that I was really interested in, because I'm like, I'm not a dancer. Mm-hmm. I could be in a choir, but I didn't really want to because I had sang in church so much with mm-hmm. my family. So I'm like, I want to try photography. So started photography very early on. And even going in, I didn't really understand, like, how technical it was.
Do you feel like you have a strong technical background? Like, do you know as much as your assistants do on set?
I do. And I'm surprised, actually, sometimes, because people are like, yo, you really are technical. Like, you know your shit. Like,
yeah, that's fine.
But I started off on a camera obscura. So it's a pinhole camera.
Oh, my God.
And it's when you... Basically, it was a cardboard box. It was something that we had handmade in school. Uh-huh. And I think I understood my teacher, Toni Starinsky. I owe that woman, like, so much of mm-hmm. my life. And even to this day, we're still in contact with each other. But she taught us she wanted us to understand the science behind photography and what it means for light to reflect onto paper or onto a negative and create an image.
Right.
So we start off with pinhole cameras. It's just a cardboard box that has, like, this little tiny hole in it with a lid. And, you know, you put this light sensitive paper in a dark room into the box. And then you go and compose your image by lifting up the lid to expose the light for a certain amount of time. Mm. So we literally had to nurture and kind of have a sense of patience with the process from the very beginning.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like that really taught me to think about, you know, what it is that I'm trying to say, what it is that I want to shoot.
And I want to just say, you know, I definitely get your point with that because, you know, myself being a photographer, I started out with film. But the thing about that was you had to really, I mean, you only had 36 shots on a roll.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a digital camera. You could just shoot 200 of them, you know.
Yeah.
So you really had to, and it was expensive to develop that film and process it and print those things. So you had to have a lot of discretion and really know what you were doing mm-hmm. when you were taking the pictures because you didn't want to burn up all that film.
No. And then also, spending time in the dark room is just really precious as well. So
you actually know how to work in a dark room as
well. Yeah, I still work in a dark room. Wow. A lot of my work, I process.
Do you still shoot on film?
Yes, most of my stuff is film.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of camera do you use when you shoot? When you shoot film?
I use so many different types of cameras, but my favorite camera that I use is a Mamiya 645.
Oh my god. It's a medium
format camera, and it has a really beautiful 80 millimeter lens that's like kind of equivalent to a 50 millimeter. Mm-hmm. And I love the dimensions of the camera. Yep. I love how it feels. I have the grip on it as well. Wow. So it kind of rewinds itself after every shot. Well, so you're manually doing it. Yeah, yeah. But a lot of my portraits and even a lot of my fashion and art stuff is on that camera. But I also shoot with the Mamiya RZ67. That's one of my favorite studio cameras.
Oh, girl, yeah. You. What about digital? What about digital though? Well, when you do have shoot digital, what camera do you like to use?
A Canon Mark IV.
Oh,
yeah. Mm. Canon Mark IV.
Wow, you're really okay. Yeah. Now listen, let's talk about you come to Cleveland. Well, you leave Cleveland, you come to New York, and you had a job working when you got here.
Yeah. So I moved to New York in 2013 to go to college to attend Parsons, the new school. So I majored in communication design and I minored in photography because at that point I wanted to kind of expand my skill sets. I learned so much from photography in high school and from Ms. Zerinsky. So I felt like I was able to like branch out a little bit more, and graphic design goes hand in hand with photography. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I would be really, really malleable like to the industry. So I worked a bunch of odd jobs. I did, you know, babysitting, dog walking, retail. Never worked in the food industry because I just can't. I don't have the patience for that. But worked retail, had always been doing photography, would even photograph some of the families that I babysat, like their family portraits. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And photography was still, you know, that thing that was supporting me financially and fueling me. Going to fashion week, sitting mm-hmm, outside, mm-hmm. networking, photographing people, like, for mm-hmm, hours mm-hmm, in the cold, mm-hmm. all types of stuff that humbles you.
Yeah.
So, you know, after I graduated from Parsons, I got a job as a graphic designer, a junior graphic designer at a social media agency, and I stayed there for about a year. I was actually hired as a paid intern, mm-hmm. but I worked there 5 days a week.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah. So it was a job.
It was a job. Full time.
Yeah.
And so I applied, once I started to kind of shift out of that job, I applied to another position that popped up in one of the, like, our college's portal. They have like a system where they post job listings, and one of the listings were for it, and also one of my friends from college, she sent me a screenshot of it, was like, you should apply for this. But it was Beyonce's entertainment company, Parkwood. They were hiring for a role as a digital designer. But the skill set was just like, oh, we need somebody who's well versed. We also need somebody that's creative because it's a part of the digital team, but they still needed someone who had like a creative flair and understanding with, like, you know, graphic design and making collages and editing images and kind of coming up with creative concepts for Beyonce.com, Shop Beyonce, you know, just all the things that she has digitally.
How much time do you split between New York and Cleveland? I know you go home a lot, right?
Yeah, last year, during the pandemic, I feel like I went home more than ever because mm-hmm. I felt the urge to just wanted to be around family mm-hmm. and just wanted to keep, like, the people that I care about really close because everybody was experiencing so much loss and so much grief. I was just like, this is my time to really go and spend because, you know, the last 5 or 6 years I've been in New York, I would only go home maybe like twice or maybe once a year yeah. around the holidays
right.
and then spend like 2 weeks and then kind of get back into like the New York hustle. Yeah. So last year I just felt this need to really be around my family, be around my mother, be around my sisters. Most of my sisters are still in Cleveland. My older sister, she's in Texas, and you know, just watching them kind of develop and coming of age and coming into womanhood, watching my older sisters have children and be mothers as well. Mm-hmm. I'm surrounded by that energy constantly.
Well, you know, let me ask you, you know, Toni Morrison, who was the Nobel Prize winning author from Lorain, Ohio, mm-hmm. once said, you know, if you really want to know where my stories start, they start in the streets of Lorain, Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of her inspiration came from being there. And you've talked now about your mother and the importance of your family. How would you say your upbringing in Cleveland and your experience with your family filters through your work as a photographer?
Yeah, for me,
and artistically?
That's a really good question. For me, I really think that I was always fascinated with how people perceive beauty and what that means and how aesthetically beauty can be curated. It can be art directed.
Yeah.
And that is what I was taught in college. But what I saw around me is just like there's beauty in dysfunction. There's beauty in the imperfection. There's beauty in the mundane. So I really wanted to kind of embrace that. And, you know, Cleveland is not perfect and no place is perfect, but there's so much beauty and heart that's still there in the people and, you know, the history. There's a lot of rich history in Cleveland, and a lot of people are maybe quite surprised. Like, anytime I say I'm from Cleveland, they'd be like, oh, LeBron. That's the only connection. But there's so much more, you know, character and charisma and creativity as well that has always just inspired me. I feel like people from Cleveland are the most like themselves, like unapologetically. Like, that's one thing I will say is like, if they have some type of style or if they have something that they like it because they like it. They're not doing it because this person is doing or another person is kind of like influencing what they're doing for themselves. They're doing it because they believe in it. So I believe some of the most creative people,
as we call it, Believeland,
yes. Everybody is kind of like, they really embrace themselves. So that's something that I've always wanted to show. So my work, it has this, it's raw, it's authentic, it's not perfect. There, it has kind of like subjects that people are not used to seeing in front of the camera. Even the people that I photograph, they're like, I'm not a model, so I can't really do anything. Those are my favorite people to photograph because I show them the images and they're always surprised in what they see because they're like, oh wow, I would have never seen myself in this way. So to be able to kind of like flip that script and really allow people to recognize the beauty that they always had is like, I've already done my job or my purpose. And it's not even a job for me at this point because it's literally my purpose and my passion.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to From Ohio. For images on this episode, as well as links and images to previous episodes, visit us at @from_Ohio at Instagram. And in the meantime, until next time, double happiness from the 17th state.